Selamat datang kembali semuanya. Welcome back to the Indo-Techno Podcast, Season 3, Episode 19. I'm Alan Halliwell, venture partner at leading early stage Indonesian VC, AC Ventures, and founder of startup consultancy Gizmo Advisors. Now, some of the most fascinating results of the continuous march of technology across the Indonesian industrial landscape is the disintermediation we see across the country's traditional industries. Today, we have the opportunity to see what innovation holds in store for Indonesia's used car market, which boasts $65 billion US in yearly transaction value. Digitalization, big data, and new online retailing paradigms continue to change the face of this longstanding area of commerce. We are extremely pleased to have joined the Indo-Techno podcast, Pandu Adilaras, co-founder and CEO of Broom.id, a leading Indonesian used car marketplace. Pandu, great to have you join us today.
Thank you, Alan. It has been a pleasure.
Now, can we start with you simply profiling what exactly it is that Broom does?
Sure. For English-speaking listener, Broom.id is pretty tacky name because obviously we're not selling broomstick or any cleaning materials or cleaning supplies. Broom is short for business for showroom. In our DNA, we're providing solutions for showrooms or used car dealer. And as our first product, we're going to use dealer inventory for their collateral if they want to get working capital loan in our platform. On top of that, the way Broom.id works is that it's pretty much Shopify because we're creating an operating system for dealers. Plus, we're also doing the OYO Rooms model because we also help the dealers to be in big network. And then we help them to use similar marketing. We help them to use the same technology. And we try to help them in bringing new customers to their reach. So that's in general what we're doing.
Wow. A cross between Shopify and OYO for the used car marketplace. I can imagine it. Now, I noticed, Pandu, that you gained angel investment in May of last year from high-profile entrepreneurs such as Edward Tirtanata of Kopikonangan, Krishnan Menon of Lumo, and Andrew Lee, who is a former executive at Gojek. Can you give us specific examples of how these angel investors were helpful in growing Broom?
When we started the business a year ago, we were bootstrapping from the co-founder's own money, and we did our POC with several of dealers. We present the idea to a very close friend of ours, and then Chris decided, hey, this is a very good business. Why don't we talk to the bigger angel investment network? And at that time, we had a chance to meet Krishnan and Andrew Lee. So far, they have been really great improving our network. First of all, they're pretty much the one who connected us with the bigger VC network, AAC Ventures and Kona relationship came from them. On top of that, they also help us in really being a mentor on things that we should focus because all of them are not only investors, but they're also an entrepreneur. For me, as a first-time entrepreneur, one of the biggest help from them on top of the money and network is really how to build this venture and not trying to do the same mistakes early stage.
It's fantastic to see this excellence and innovation being recycled or paid forward from one generation to the other. I love watching that, and I assume it'll become more commonplace as we go forward. Now, Pandu, you yourself have enjoyed the best of both Indonesia and overseas. I see you've done your education at University of Indonesia and also the University of Queensland, and also in your professional career, it's been quite international. You worked with US-based Uber, an Indonesia-based Gojek. So same category, different domiciles. How are you seeing the best of Indonesian tech entrepreneurship evolve from this perspective?
This question excites me because one of the things that I've been thinking, and I've also been doing this with Andre Sulistio from Goto, I'm helping him in the Indonesian Chamber of Commerce. We were talking about Indonesian digital talent. Indonesia has abundant digital talent in terms of engineers, product managers, and whatnot. Indonesian level is already similar with what I've been seeing in other market in other region as well. And the good thing about Indonesian digital talent, I would say, is the sense of community. That's the thing that we haven't really capitalized on, because in Indonesia, there's a very strong bond between digital talent to digital talent. We see a lot of professional network, both online and offline. And then we also see a lot of them improving in terms of skill and in terms of salary itself. There's nothing different between Indonesian and other regions. So I'm pretty happy with the trajectory of Indonesian talent so far. We are moving towards a good direction. And I also encourage Indonesian digital talent to really pass on their knowledge to another. And there's also something that I want to do outside of my work at Broom.id is by improving this community, sharing about the problem and trying to help the bigger network.
Yeah, I would agree. I see a lot of community building and sharing, which frankly, I'm not seeing here in Silicon Valley where I'm spending the summer. Although obviously there are some great entrepreneurs and individuals willing to share knowledge with the younger entrepreneurial class. Now, getting back to our business, in the US, we use the term used car dealer to describe less savory, less reliable types of personalities. Who is Indonesia's used car dealer? Can you give us some color on some of the unique ways that these SMEs operate today?
You should see used car dealer similar to what Warung is in Indonesia. They're pretty much the same type of business. The only difference is that rather than selling cigarettes and mineral water, they're actually selling very high ticket items, which is used car. But in terms of characteristic and the way they do their business, it's pretty much the same. First, they want to find their inventory, the things that they're trying to sell. And then after they have this inventory to sell, the difference is that probably the used car dealer will just try to touch up the inventory a bit and then try to sell it. The other differences with Warung is that most of the used car turnover is around 15 to 30 days in general. But for Warung, the turnover for Aqua or the mineral water, it's probably much faster. But again, it's safe to say that the way they do business is still pretty traditional, but they need help.
I love the parallel. I have never heard that comparison made. Now, Pandu, how technologically literate are Indonesia's 50,000 auto dealers today? You talk about the Warungs, who are, for good reasons, notoriously quite backward in their embrace of technology, at least until recently. But how would you describe those 50,000 auto dealers that operate domestically?
First off, in terms of technology, when I started this a year ago, I went to a lot of used car dealership, but it's very rare that they have a PC or a laptop in their position. By the way, they always have the best phone, the newest one. So in one hand, they don't do computerized business. They don't do any digitalization to their business process. But on the other hand, they always wanted to understand what is technology. And because they're trying to keep up with the technology, they always buy these new fancy phones. Sometimes I learn a lot of things from them. But when I look into their phone, try to get to know them better, always obvious that they only use WhatsApp and they only use probably Google Chrome to access news and other stuff. But honestly, I also believe that they have an experience, some bit of startup world or technology, because they've advertised their inventory in other marketplaces or in other used car listing platforms. So to give you some perspective, the business is pretty traditional, but the person, the owner, usually have the newest phone and they want to understand the newest trend in technology.
Now, we discussed three of our main value adds as tech to digitize the car dealer's business process. Number two, better inventory liquidity through marketplace. And number three, easy access to capital using inventory as collateral. Coming back to what Broom.id does, can you walk us through these elements in greater detail?
Sure, Alan. Initially, and it's still happening today, we are a very customer-centric company. Our product that we build, there's one big red line every time we create a product to our customers. Number one, it should solve their pain point. Those three things that you mentioned is based on our discussion to the dealer. It's based on our market research and based on what the competition is look like in Indonesia. those three things are the things that it's being dealt by the dealer every day. All those three things are the solution for their problems. So again, back to the notion of there being a warung or being a simple-minded business. Before financing, what they need in the first place is a liquidity of their inventory. What it means by liquidity is they need to buy a vehicle and then they need to sell it right away. So what we are trying to optimize is the day between the vehicle being taken to their garage up until it's sold. So we have wanted to make sure that the more vehicle that they're able to sell, it's actually better for their business. But in doing so, they need more working capital to basically help their business to grow. Because again, I also want to give some light on their businesses. Their ability to sell vehicle is limited by the number of parking lots that they own. So at any given time, they're only able to sell maximum 5 to 6 cars. And it's really apparent that to improve their business, to increase their revenue, they need to replenish the 5 or 6 cars and inventory. And then they need to buy another 5 to 6 cars. And they want to make sure a fast turnaround. So they're not optimizing for margin. They're optimizing for the inventory turnaround. So that's what we mean with liquidity. And because their capital is being locked up during that inventory turnaround period, we also think that why don't we help them in giving out basically leverage to their inventory? One, they're still able to sell their vehicle. Second, on top of that, they're still able to have help from our platform, getting additional capital to buy another inventory. The idea is as simple as that.
Understood. So it's been very clear in our time chatting that we very much believe that enabling these players in used car dealing will see far greater success than, for instance, somehow disintermediating their businesses. Is that correct?
Yes.
Got you. Now, we mentioned that 90% of used car transactions are happening through SMEs, being small used car dealers in Indonesia. Haven't other markets shown that SME participation in used car dealing declines with time, or am I wrong on that?
You're still right on that side, with tons of players in the market that digitalize the way people are buying cars. There's also this fear that the relevance of a used car dealer is declining. But what we're trying to build here is we don't want to eliminate them for sure. One of our tests is that buying a vehicle, at least today in Indonesia, you cannot just click some advertising in Tokopedia, some listing in Tokopedia and expect the vehicle to be delivered to your home and then click 5-star rating for the delivery. For used car, because again, this is a very high ticket item. It's in the range of 12 to 15,000 USD per car. As a normal buyer, you actually wanted to still try the vehicle. You want to inspect the vehicle. You want to check whether the vehicle is in good condition or not. So the offline component of buying a car is still happening, and 90% of that is still happening at the dealer side. We're not saying that we're going to compete with the online marketplace. We're thinking that online marketplace is an even better thing for the dealer because it generates leads of customer. But again, the actual transaction is still happening at the dealer side. And from that thesis, we're actually thinking, why don't we talk with the dealer and combine them in a big network? Because in our point of view, dealers are the ultimate point of sales. And because the nature of point of sales, we're not only able to sell the vehicle, but later on, we're also able to sell any other products such as insurance, leasing, even maintenance. So that's how we look into the dealership model. So to your question about the interaction with them is declining, I'm not going to say it's wrong. That's true in some other markets. And therefore, what we're trying to do is how to bridge those new technology coming in, but still making sure that 50,000 of these dealers across Indonesia is still relevant to their technology advancement.
Understood. Now, moving on to a slightly different topic, what relationships do we have with the juggernauts of ride hailing in Indonesia, such as Gojek and Grab?
Today, we actually don't have anything crystallized with them, but because I'm coming from one of the juggernauts that the future of mobility, both of them are also a mobility player, again, still needs four-wheeler as their backbone for their business. So we're cooking up something, and in other markets, we also see a financing player that can help ride-hailing drivers to get better access to vehicle, and in return, it's also bring a greater supply for the ride-hailing company. As far as I can tell, probably the idea that we want to build in terms of product roadmap later on.
Great. Clearly need to keep our eyes peeled for developments on that front. A very simple question. Pandu, how do we use data in our business?
Before I answer that, I just want to share that the dealer today have zero data to begin with. The data in their mind is just the mileage of their vehicle, the color of the vehicle, etc. But that's their point of view. It's not a data, right? It's not useful data. But in Broom.id point of view, this is a very massive data to be processed. And we were looking into how to use data as firepower for the dealer. So the situation today, there's probably thousands of dealers that selling the same or similar type of a vehicle. They're probably selling 2016 Avanza that also colored silver. How they're able to sell, because essentially they're competing with each other. So they don't use data today to determine the price, to determine how fast they can sell. But in our perspective, we're actually able to see which dealer actually selling this Avanza the fastest and what are the best price that this dealer sold. And we can give a better sense to our customer. Hey, look, if you want to speed up your inventory days by 2 days, you can decrease your selling price by 2-3%. On the other hand, I see that you already sell this type of vehicle several times, but you don't get the customer. In your region or in your area, we see that most of the vehicle that they love is ABC. Why don't you take that as an input and find a matching model? Again, today, the dealers haven't used data extensively, and hence the fintech model that we're using in our business, because right now, we're not only getting vehicle data, but on top of that, we're also getting the owner data. This is pretty much like any other fintech. We're collecting data such as KTP, tax card, their bank account, historical data, etc. So I quite believe that combining this user data plus the inventories that they own is going to be pretty powerful. And I haven't seen a platform in Asia that's able to combine those data and use it for an effective product.
So Pandu, what is Broom's basic business model? How do we make money exactly?
Again, the basic business model is that we're trying to build an app for the dealer. And then later on, when the app is full with a lot of capability and product, it's pretty much an operating system for the dealer. As our first product, we're doing a repurchasing model for them to get working capital access. What we're doing today is that, one, we're buying their vehicle, their existing inventory, maximum 70% of the market value. And then because we purchase the vehicle, by law, we're entitled to the ownership of this vehicle. But our pitch to the dealer is that you're still able to sell this vehicle 100% of the market value or more. And the vehicle itself, we're going to display it at your garage. We're not going to take that vehicle into our custody. Now, if you're able to sell that vehicle between, I don't know, 7, 14, or 30 days, what you need to do is just pay us back similar to the amount of money that we're buying plus some management fee. That's the business model. So in their mind, we're not a loan provider. We're a standby buyer. So whenever they have difficulties in selling their cars, they just like call Broom and the vehicle going to be sold same day.
Now, as part of this business model, what is the scale of inventory risk that we assume?
First off, there's always inventory risk associated with this business, but that's how we try to mitigate the risk. Number one, it's on the LTV itself of 70%. That's the maximum that we're using. We only want to give leverage to the vehicle according to market value, and it gives us room. If something happened, we're still able to sell the vehicle quickly. So second, on top of the LTV, we also only limit ourselves to buy popular model. So we don't do more than like 15 years vehicle. We don't do vehicles that is no longer in the market in Indonesia in terms of distribution or the workshop. Some specific brands that for sure I cannot say the name, but that's very unique, very antique. We don't do that. The key here is to make sure that the demand for this stuff is quite high and safe to assume that before selling Toyota Avanza 30% market discount, people will be lining up and try to buy that vehicle. So that's the inventory risk for sure. That's still there, but we'll try to manage it and try to minimize it.
Gotcha. Now, Pandu, how do we attract new dealers? Is it primarily through digital marketing, or what means do we bring on new dealers to our network?
In the past 1 year, we don't do heavy online marketing. What we're doing is still community penetration so far. This dealership always have this WhatsApp group between them that probably contains 200 or 300 dealers. And we're actually tapping into that WhatsApp group. Every 2 weeks, we have a dealer gathering and we actually try to get into their areas, talking with the community leaders. That's how we get close to 3,000 dealership in Jabodetabek area today. So we're still focusing on putting the face of the company by sending our marketing team and sales team to their site. Because again, the nature of their business is that they're not too fancy of digital platform. They only see digital platform as a selling channel. So to get into their hearts and to understand better, it's easier and faster at this point to still use offline channel.
Understood. Now, we importantly work closely with institutional lenders in order to source low-cost loans, which we then use to support the used car dealer. Can you tell us about our strength of connectivity to Indonesia's institutional lenders?
That's something that we also proud of. It's our relationship, our deep integration to one of the biggest state-owned bank in Indonesia. It's a BRI. For sure, it's not an exclusive relationship, and we try to copy-paste the success story to other banks. But our pitch to BRI is that, one, let us be your onboarding agent to this unbanked customer segment. Unbankable customer segment, because as this dealership has no good credit scoring, they probably don't use credit card. If they do, they're probably always being late in paying. And a lot of them also have trouble in managing their money. So in their bank historical data, the vehicle transaction always messed up or mixed with buying cigarettes and paying electricity. And they don't do good separation of their budget. So what we're trying to help all the institutional player like banks is that we're going to help them filter out a good dealer. And for the bad dealers, we'll help them in getting a better credit scoring. And then we're going to also give them centralized tools to manage their business. This is quite important because traditionally the institutional lenders is not going to focus on helping their customers. It's very transactional. The cost of capital is X. They're going to sell it to their customer, including the dealers, and they just expect the dealers to pay on time. So we would try to be the bridge between this type of customer and the big banks.
Understood. Now, Pandu, you've mentioned a couple of times that an important element in our business is quote unquote leverage. And if I'm not mistaken, some of our industry peers, such as Moladin, work with levels as high as 90%. What do we feel to be the most effective level of leverage to work with and why?
We cannot see leverage from the number alone. Even in one case, if we put only 10% of leverage, but we giving out this leverage to untrustworthy customer, it's still not good leverage. The spectrum of leverage cannot be seen in isolation only by numbers. There's other components on top of those numbers. The one that I mentioned just now is the popularity of the model, which is pretty much how fast the vehicle could be sold. And then I also think that loan product or this working capital access product, on top of the LTV, we need also to think about the interest rate as well as the tenure or the duration of the loan. If we look into the LTV per se, why 70% and not 90% is safer for Broom.id today? It's because we also try to make sure that one is not a really bad deal for the dealers because it's still more than half of what they're able to get if they're selling the car to customers. And second, for ourselves, the other 30% is safe for us to make sure that the vehicle is able to be sold quickly in the event of non-performing loan. So I cannot comment on the 90%. For sure, there's more than that. The other player have their own thoughts on that. But today, we're quite comfortable with 70%. And just to be clear, this 70% is not from the purchase price from the dealer. Really, this is a market value. So it's a good enough leverage for the dealer.
Understood. Now, how do rising interest rates impact our business?
It has impacts, but fortunately, we have a credit facility that we closed before last year in the first two quarters of this year, and we have this credit facility for the next 2 to 3 years. So for sure, there will be a lot of pressure for us to improve our unit economics by increasing the pricing, increasing the spread. But we're thinking that we need to also be in other products like trading or other value-added product to the dealers. Otherwise, we only wanted to get to break even from the raising interest rate. And on top of that, one of the things that we want to try this year is to segment the dealers when we're trying to archetype these dealers into segments so that we were able to sell better price to some dealers and probably we provide them a lower product for other dealers.
Understood. A bit of a devil's advocate question for you. FinTech is one of the largest categories of venture investment in Indonesia, and it boasts an extremely wide array of participants from traditional banks extending online to dozens and dozens of pure play FinTechs focused on specific categories, to the large online platforms, which are quickly moving into ancillary financial services, whether it be Shopee or Grab or GoTo or others. First of two questions, why does there need to be a specialized platform like Broom.id to provide short-term working capital? Why can't some of the groups I just mentioned above not expand into it?
In the past, we've been putting some thoughts on these questions ourselves. Like suddenly Gojek selling this short-term working capital to their merchants or the dealers, or even banks or P2P doing this to our customer. But so far, one of the things that still give us competitive edge is we actually understand the dealer business ourselves. One of my co-founders is actually a dealer, showroom owner. We're not going to be a lending company eventually. We're much more than that. Short-term working capital access is just our first product. It's just a hook for our dealer to understand better what Broom.id offers. But even in offering this product, we're working in synergy with the big banks, with P2P and other fintech players. For sure, one of the value add when we ask them is that Broom.id helps them to not have to recruit any more sales agent on the ground and to not have to spend OPEX in building new branches. They let us do that and pretty much gave them the benefit of the revenue. So yeah, sure, this business has a low barrier to entry. But so far, at least in the past 12 months, what we're able to show is that our ability to understand the dealer better give us upper hand in this business.
Understood. So my second question here is, where would Broom see competitive pressure emerging over the next, for instance, 3 to 5 years?
There will be several unicorns in the space, in the region. Singapore has Karo, Malaysia has Karsam, and Indonesia we got on top of us, there will be Moladin and several existing players like OLX. But again, the market is really big. Even Astra, the incumbent automotive industry, they only have 12 or 13 branches of their own used car dealership. It shows that there's always a room for more than one or two players. Second, because the ecosystem of automotive plus fintech is very big, there's always room for people to collaborate rather than competing and killing each other. And therefore, I think one of the things why we pick an entry point as a fintech player, because as a local player, we're going to comply with the regulation. And we think that compliance is going to be our competitive advantages. This is something that probably the course of action that's not been happening with other players. Second, we also see that those players are always covering for the end user as their primary customer. So we think that the used car dealers are neglected ones. They're pretty much trying to be the supplier for this ecosystem, but they're left behind. That's how we think the competition is going to look like. We're trying to focus on the B2B side first. We try to get into fintech first as our entry point. But yeah, more and more our business is going to overlap. We're not afraid of competition. In general, we're thinking as a newer player to the market, where we're better off in working with them rather than competing.
Got you. So clearly we are helping the used car dealer today to improve their working capital circumstances and otherwise drive financial efficiencies within the business. But a much bigger picture question, what will the used car dealer SME segment in Indonesia look like in 5 years' time?
I still see in the next 5 years, dealership will not be 100% eliminated. What will happen in the next 5 years is that the market is going to be much more efficient than today. So the dealers that still exist in that time is the one that still exists is dealers that use technology in that business process. That's for sure. Second, we also see that in 5 years' time, Indonesia is going to be much more developed in terms of logistics, in terms of the road infrastructure. So the use of car is going to improve. And we're going to see much more dealer popping up in rural areas in second or third tier cities in Indonesia. And therefore, we're still bullish on this model. The only difference is that when in 5 years' time, we want to be top of mind when it comes to technology for the dealer. What we're trying to say is that if you want to be a dealer, you can use our technology, you can use our financing, you can use our product and get profit from selling vehicles. But for the rest, let Room.id handles it.
Pandu learned a ton about an industry segment, which is clearly in tremendous transition from a generally very old-fashioned and efficient mindset. Thanks a lot for all the color on the industry and description of how Room.id is changing things for the better for them. And thanks a bunch for joining.
Thank you, Alan. I hope you now have a better understanding about the business, and I hope together we can empower the Indonesian automotive MSMEs. Thank you.
Absolutely. And we hope our listeners have enjoyed today's episode. As always, please consider sharing any feedback that you have about the Indo Techno podcast with us. Terima kasih. Sampai jumpa lagi.